The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on ChicagoBears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
There are good players, defensive players in this draft, and it's going to be, you know, when it's our turn to pick, it's does the player that we're orientated towards in terms of our needs or wants match up, you know, does his value match up with that pick? Every day we keep narrowing it in terms of defining who that group is. I would say for that first pick, we're right at six. I'd be happy that two out of the six were on the board at our pick. And I'd be ecstatic if three out of the six were on the board in our pick.
An informative pre-draft press conference by Bears general manager Phil Emery earlier today at Halas Hall. Good evening. Hello. Welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zabin, pleased to be joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you for the entire hour. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Keep that in mind because a little bit later on in the show, we will play Ask Tom, where we go rapid-fire style with your questions for Tom Thayer, anything in regards to the world of football, and Judge Jim Miller will make sure that someone, the best caller of that segment, wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But Tom, good evening. We'll start with you, and then we'll get Jim's take. Phil Emery, you heard him right there talk about how, yes, they're looking defense, but it is an offensive-oriented first round with all that talent, and the Bears have narrowed things down to six possible players that they feel comfortable with the 14th overall pick.
And I think for Phil and his staff, that's a great advantage to be at, to have more than one desirable pick at the middle of the round, because you just don't know how things are going to unfold in front of you. But I think one of the things that Phil has always taught us since he's been here, he's never leaves any stone unturned. Whether it's a response to a veteran injury in the middle of the season and who shows up, or even his picks of the last couple drafts. He's a hard guy to predict, but obviously when you take a guy like Kyle Long, you understand that you've done some super investigative work to understand his character and his desire to be a very good football player. And I think Kyle has reflected that to us. So now it's a great opportunity for everybody to try to think what Phil is thinking, but he is so prepared that he's willing to think at the second, third, and fourth level.
Jim, good evening. What do you think?
I think, well, one, it's beautiful because that's normally how every round works. You want six to eight guys that you're targeting, probably more in the first round. You probably think more eight. They've narrowed it down to six, which is beautiful because now the Bears are in a situation. So at 14, here's how every round basically plays out, where you say, hey, the guy we want, maybe we think is going to be selected a couple of picks before us. Now you've got to make a decision. Do we give up, say, a second or third and third round pick to move up maybe a couple spots to get the guy we ideally want? And if it's too much compensation and they have that discussion, that now you talk about just waiting and you'll be happy with the pick that you're taking, or you have the discussions where, hey, we think the out of the six, this player is going to go past us. Can we trade down and get that player and now pick up that compensation? So that's what it is. Every round, then the same thing happens in the second round. You've got your six guys. Third round, you've got your six guys. Can we position ourselves without giving up too much compensation, whether we got to trade up or gain compensation trading down? And we'd be happy with any one of those six players. And I think ultimately that's how every round will unfold. And it sounds like they've narrowed it down to their six guys. A couple will probably get taken before the Bears select. It's really the decision. Do they want to give up compensation to go up or potentially stand pat? Or trade back and gain a little bit of compensation.
All options obviously open. The Bears admit that they've gotten calls from other teams to trade down. Trading up costs you a lot more, so you better make sure if you do that, that the guy that you select is a dynamic, instant playmaker for you. But before we get to that, a revelation today in regards to the future of Chris Conte. Off-season shoulder surgery, we knew that but he may start training camp on the physically unable to perform list. And Emery says he's expecting him back in time for the first preseason game. So basically, the Bears let one of their starters go in Major Wright. They brought in two reserve guys, at least until one proves that they can get the job, in Ryan Mundy, the former Giant, and MD Jennings, the former Packer. And Emery today was asked what the safety position looks like where the Bears pick at 14.
We have looked at them from all angles because there is a drop-off in terms of perceived level of ability between the first few safeties in the draft and the next grouping. So we've, out of necessity, we have looked at them from all different angles in terms of their position flexibility.
Well, that's one thing you have to investigate, because Phil always makes a statement. How do they fit into our plan according to our personnel that we already have, and does he fit into our system? So I don't think it's just an evaluation of how he ran the 40 or how he looked at his pro day. How did he fit into the system he came out of in college? Is that going to compute to the NFL in the early stages of his career? So there's a lot of other considerations, just 40 time and the ability to come out of your break.
And Jim, he also mentioned, Emery did, that while it might be top-heavy at the safety position where you have a few good guys that are significantly better than the rest of the crop, he said because of that, he's also looking at potential cornerbacks that might be moved to the safety position. He did admit that he swung and missed when it came to Brandon Harden with that in his first draft, a third-round pick who was primarily a corner and then shifted over to safety, and it never worked out for him in the NFL. Does that concern you when you hear stuff like that?
No, because he's absolutely dead on when he talks about the safeties. In terms of the top two guys, we've talked about Calvin Pryor and HaHa Clinton Dix. Those guys are specifically safeties. Yeah, HaHa can come down and play tight ends over the slot. But let's say what Phil was referring to there, cornerbacks that can play nickel, slot, and safety. I'll give you a name. And his name would be Jalen Watkins. He is a Florida defensive back. He can play corner or projects as a corner, a safety, or a nickel slot corner. So Jimmy Ward, we brought up that safety from Northern Illinois. A lot of people think he's a nickel corner. He's actually been working out with cornerback skills. So those guys provide more position flexibility. And as we know, with more spread sets and you've got all these slot receivers like Wes Welker that are cat quick, now you've got to go through these safeties that really have niche skills that can do that. Jason Verrett of TCU, I think a lot of people look at that corner as strictly a slot corner. He's got his quick twitch. You know, it can compare to somebody like a Wes Welker, who's so quick in and out of his breaks. Jason Verrett ran of like a 4.36 40, and his vertical was 40 inches. I mean, this guy is a quick twitch guy. Nevin Lawson, he's another guy I think people think provide that position flexibility. Is he a slot corner? Can he play safety? Can he play corner on the outside? He's from Utah State. So other than HaHa and probably Kelvin Pryor, and I'd probably throw in Deion Buchanan, who's probably underrated with his versatility out there at Washington State, there's, after the top two safeties, a lot of these guys are niche type of safeties that people are going to move them around. They're not pure safeties like what Phil Emery was talking about.
Important to note that the man who recruited Calvin Pryor to Louisville is now on the Bears coaching staff, a guy named Clint Hurt, who is the new assistant defensive line coach. So they know everything there is to know about the hard-hitting safety, Calvin Pryor. Aaron Donald's name was mentioned, the standout three technique from Pittsburgh, as though all of in all the mock drafts, people have him going to the Bears. But Emery sounded today as though that's not even going to be a possibility. He feels that he's probably going to be taken before the Bears have an opportunity to select at 14. Coming up next, we'll talk to the man that Phil Emery compared to Drago from Rocky IV.
I must break you.
Yeah, we'll find out, because it's a make-or-break year for him, I think. So that's next. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority.
Looks like an extra from Dolph Lundgren movie, doesn't he? Looking good. Looking trim and fit. Yeah.
That was Bears general manager Phil Emery talking about the guy who's on our guest line right now here on Bears All Access. Pleased to be joined by new Bears linebacker Shay McClellan, making the switch from defensive end to linebacker. And it's been well documented that the physique is different, so much so that, Shay, your boss is now comparing you to Drago from Rocky IV. You got to like that, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's awesome.
Hey, Shay, I got a what's been the most difficult part of this offseason for you? Has it been mentally or physically? Mentally, the switch to linebacker, or physically, the change to your body?
I'd say mentally for sure. You know, the last time I studied coverages and, you know, that sort of thing was a long, long time ago, 4 or 5 years ago. So I think mentally, definitely, it's been a lot tougher, but, you know, it's been an easy transition overall so far.
Well, when you're talking about how did you prepare yourself mentally, obviously you've transformed your body that you mentioned with the workout program, but, you know, getting into yourself mentally that, hey, looking at formations, diagnosing your keys, because really more is at stake in terms of standing up and really diagnosing what an offense is going to be pulling at you in terms of the play calls offensively.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot more that you have to know, you know, playing linebacker than D-line, that's for sure. And, you know, just getting into the playbook more and studying what I got to know, and that's what I've been doing so far.
Visiting with Bears linebacker Shay McClellan here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Shay, how frustrating was it the last couple of years because you were putting in the work and yet you weren't able to see that transcend onto the football field on game day? And considering the amount of work that you put in, it could not have been a fun time for you over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun at all. You know, I worked my butt off to get where I was, and, you know, nothing was really, wasn't really transitioning to the field. So it was frustrating, but, you know, that's on the back burner now. You know, I try not to look into the past too much, and or not at all, and, you know, just move on from there, because you can't change the past. It already happened, so there's nothing I can do about it now. So I just got to move on, and, you know, what's come to me now, so.
You know, Shay, last year in training camp, I remember you had back-to-back days where you had interceptions on two consecutive days, and that's out of the defensive end position. So what type of things that you learned at that position are going to help you translate it to a stand-up position with maybe a better vision than in a three-point stance?
Yeah, for sure. I think, for one, you can see a lot more, that's for sure, standing up. And I mean, I think there's some things that can transfer over from D to playing linebacker, you know, foot quickness, that kind of thing. But, you know, like you said, it's going to be a lot easier to see more on the field, and it'll be nice.
Do you think, like, when you talk about defensively, if you're an on-the-line strong side linebacker dealing with tight end release techniques, and, man, your ability to run, you run like a deer. I mean, I got to believe in man-to-man coverage, there's not too many tight ends you can't keep up with, Shay. Maybe talk about it from that perspective.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. You know, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. It's something that's new to me. You know, I did a little bit in college, but, you know, our thing was more zone. So, you know, definitely manning up on the line, it's going to be different. You know, I think once I get to tighten down, I think I'll be all right. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Now,
overall, I mean, I'm excited.
We're talking with Shay McClellan here on Bears All Access. Sorry for interrupting you there. Now, help me answer this, because I know some of your teammates, and when they saw the pictures that your trainer gave to the media that posted out there on Twitter, and they started to see some of these pictures, and you walked into the locker room for the first time this offseason, what was that like? What kind of comments did you hear from the guys who know you best in that locker room?
All kinds of things. you know, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, like Kyle Long, he called me a traitor because I lost all this weight now because I'm a linebacker. I'm like, hey, man, I had to do it. You know, I got to be fast, all that kind of thing. So, you know, but I thought that was funny and, you know, different things. So it was funny overall.
You know, Shay, it's kind of a weird thing because you get drafted as an inexperienced young defensive end, but now you have experience in the NFL. So I said it, they're going to reinvent you earlier in the offseason, but you got to be even though you're coming in as a linebacker, you still have to have the maturity and the confidence in yourself because you've been around the NFL for a couple of years. So it's different if you were just coming out of college, boom, linebacker. But now you have experience physically and mentally, and that's, I think that'll help you transition to the linebacker position.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, having 3 years under my belt definitely helps out, you know, especially mentally. I think mentally is probably, you know, the hardest transition from college to pro is just getting your mind right. And, you know, just because you're not expecting certain things, you're not sure how things are. But, you know, 2 years under my belt, I think it'll definitely help me out.
Well, is this a whole new playbook defensively for the Bears? I mean, is the verbiage different? Are the calls different with what everybody's been talking about, Mel Tucker, and really his ability to put a stamp on a new defense going away from a Tampa 2? How much different is the terminology, Shay?
Well, for me, it's a lot different just because I'm moving to linebacker. So for me, the terminology is different. But I think for the most part, I think it's mostly the same. You know, I think there's some new twists in there, but I think for the most part it's the same that it was.
Shay, you talked about the mental part of the game, which is almost as big as the physical part. What gives you the confidence that you can ascend as a linebacker and take advantage of the new opportunity that you've been given?
Yeah, I think for me, I just feel more comfortable at this position. You know, I feel like I could be a good linebacker. I just, you know, need to get into studying, get into the playbook, and, you know, learn the techniques kind of things. You know, I played it all 4 years in high school. In college, I even played, you know, 50-50, half linebacker, half DN. But, you know, for me, I just felt more comfortable playing linebacker. So I think it'll be a good transition.
Hey, Shay, can you let us into the weight room? Because now you got Mike Clark and the supervision of the weight coach, and you're going through your paces in the weight room. But you got a lot of new guys on defense there. Is the weight room, is it quiet? Is it excited? Is it a Jared Allen there? Can you hear his voice with Lamar Houston and the rest of the guys? Or what is the atmosphere initially with all the new guys on defense?
It's crazy. I mean, everyone's very excited, I think. You know, Lamar Houston, he's a very outgoing dude, and, you know, he's always talking. And Willie Young, definitely, you know, those two guys definitely bring the excitement in the weight room. So I think it's good so far. I think, you know, we're putting in work, and we're doing good.
Well, as for how the offense transformed, the offensive line, everything came together offensively for the Bears a year ago. Are you guys making similar goals? Maybe a pact defensively on goals you want to reach defensively in 2014.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that, you know, eventually. You know, right now we're just focused on, you know, going into phase two, the coaching sessions, and, you know, from there, you know, we'll go from there.
Before we say goodbye, I don't know if people know this, but Shay McClellan, huge LA Lakers fan. Huge, right, Shay?
Yeah, you're right.
So what are your thoughts now that we're hearing a lot of stuff? First, Mike D'Antoni's out, so they're looking for a new coach. Yeah. And we're hearing the report, the latest one that came out today, is that the Lakers are going to ask the Bulls for permission to talk to Tom Thibodeau, perhaps, you know, to bring him in as a head coach. What do you think about that?
I think that's good, especially, you know, the Lakers weren't so good on defense, and, you know, D'Antoni's more of an offensive-minded coach, so I think, you know, Thibodeau in there, I think that'd be a good fit for the Lakers. But, you know, I don't know if Chicago wanted to leave, so that might be tough.
In an ideal world, who would you want to see coaching Kobe, Pau Gasol, and all those guys?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of rumors going around right now. But, you know, George Karl, he's always been good. You know, I heard the UConn's head coach was rumored. I mean, I think he's young, but I think he could be pretty good eventually. So, you know, we never know. I mean, Lakers are a storied franchise, so we'll see how it goes.
Shay, thank you. Good luck this season.
Yep. Thank you, Shay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Shay McClellan spending some time with us talking Bears defense here on Bears All Access. We'll recap what we just heard next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've got great news because a lot of people have been asking me about this on Twitter, and I'm sure you get this all the time when you're walking around the streets of Chicago, Tom. Jim, you too. But Bears All Access is now available as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at ChicagoBears.com. And we were talking about Anthony Adams earlier about AA and his show Inside the Bears. Well, this week, Brandon Marshall gets the word out about May being Mental Health Awareness Month. And AA and Jerry Azuma get cryogenic by chilling in a cold chamber. Something that I know you and Jim always end up doing, Tom. The show airs Sunday at 10:35
p.m. Yeah, but we sit in a beer cooler. Hey, Jim, how you doing over there? Good.
So, again, Inside the Bears airs Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago. Are you guys ready for Ask Tom?
I'm ready.
Here's how we play. We've got a phone number, 312-644-6767. We go rapid fire to your phone calls. You ask Tom anything about the world of football. He answers it. In the meantime, Judge Jim Miller is taking notes. And at the end of the segment, Jim will pick the best caller with the best question of the segment. And that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Ready to go?
Ready.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom begins in Lakeview with Steven. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, Tom. I wanted to ask who you think the Bears will draft and who you think they should draft, and is it the same guy?
Oh, you know, I'm kind of like Phil, and I have a couple guys in mind. I'm just looking for more filling a position. And, you know, because we don't have the privilege to all the medical examinations, the psychological evaluations, and even the conversation with a player, if I had all of those, I could tell you, I could probably narrow it down to one or two players specifically. But I just read what everybody talks about, and everybody's enamored with the defensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. And I'm worried because I think with the size of offensive guards, the development of the power on the inside, I don't know if he's going to go out there and be able to use his strength as an asset against the interior strength of NFL players. So if it's Donald, right? If he's Aaron Donald, the number one guy out of Pittsburgh, if he's there, gosh, the Bears do need a lot of interior defensive help. But if I could find a linebacker or a safety that had the equal qualifications, I could just as happily pick those positions also. So, you know, I just need the ability to meet these guys to give you a definite answer of who I would pick.
Before I go to Paul at Midway, Phil Emery narrowed it down to six players at 14. What positions do you think we're talking about?
The center field, defensive tackle, middle linebacker, safety. I really believe, you know, but again, Phil's fooled us all. So I don't think anybody has a solid understanding of what Phil's thinking.
In the past, Phil has drafted the position in round one that you thought the Bears were going to draft. It's the player that surprised you. Shea McClellan was a surprise for most people in Chicago. Kyle Long came out of nowhere, but look at what he was able to do in his first season. All right, let's continue. Ask Tom, 312-644-6767. Gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line. Paul in Midway, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, good.
Hypothetical question. You're preparing the Bears for the playoffs in January. And something breaks out like the L.A. Clipper ownership thing. How would you handle that with your players?
Well, I think, you know, there's a dividing line between ownership and players. Once you get the group of players inside that locker room, that is an extremely close group of guys. If you have a distraction from the outside, it always enters the room maybe in a conversation form, but it's not going to splinter the team. I think the football players and the guys that I play with are a very resilient group. Whether it be practice conditions they weren't happy with, the fact that they didn't have an inside practice dome under some really ugly weather conditions, all those types of things factor into conversation. But because we had good leaders like Hampton and Singletary and McMichael and Fencick and all these guys, everybody contributed to the conversation to make the room a better room. So, again, I do think there's a dividing line between players and ownership.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Ask Tom, a gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line. Dave in Glencoe, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Dave. Tom, quick question. In a fantasy world, if you were a head coach in the NFL, what would your overall offensive philosophy be, and what might your overall defensive philosophy be?
That's a great question. But, you know, to me, because I was an offensive lineman in my whole life and I know how a solid running game, time of possession that computes the scoring can help the overall football team. If you're a team that can have a huge time of possession and get scores, you're going to keep your defense fresher. And then I think the 85 Bears and the Seattle Seahawks from this past year are evidence of what you need. You need tremendous amount of pressure up front to make quarterbacks think faster or have distractions in their face. So I think you have the template of success of this year's Seattle Seahawks or our 85 Bears.
You know, I'm guessing if Jim Miller was your quarterback, he wouldn't like playing for you because you'd never throw the ball. You'd run the ball 55
times. Jim would love it.
Times.
He wouldn't get touched. He would throw for huge amounts of yards.
Hey, whenever you don't have grass stains, that's a good thing on your uniform. So I'll take that all day long, Tom, and plus you're winning a ring when it's all said and
done.
That's
right.
Oh, I like that. All right, let's go to Greg in Highland, Indiana, vying for that Sports Authority gift certificate here on Ask Tom. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to know how important you think it is that the Bears do something with, I know Patrick Manley's getting up there in years and with his injury. What about a long snapper? And pulling somebody in off free agency? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I know they probably wouldn't draft a long snapper unless you were great at it from the beginning to start of your college career. I do know that they did bring in a long snapper who's got different qualities of different positions that has experience from the Canadian League.
Chad Rempel.
Yes. But, you know, Patrick's a hard guy to get rid of because he is great at his job. He's a great leader in the locker room. He's probably the most respected long snapper in the entire league because of his years of service and what he's been able to accomplish with a lot of different kickers and punters. So Patrick is an extremely talented player, but age catches up with all of us no matter what position you play.
And keep in mind that Patrick Manley has played more games. The Chicago Bears franchise since Decatur has been around since 1920.
Yep.
No one has played more games for the franchise than Patrick Manley.
Right. I think number two is Steve McMichael. And you talk about the abuse of the position of defensive tackle on the interior. It's a great accomplishment by both players because Steve was one of the most determined football players I've ever been around. But Patrick Manley, he has created a niche that he became the best at in his existence. So there's different styles of the 200-plus games for Patrick and the games for Steve McMichael, but I think they both have tremendous accomplishments in their careers.
And tremendous respect from players. Remember, Patrick Manley was voted captain of the special teams unit by the guys in the locker room. All right, it's time to pick a winner.
Good luck,
so
Jim.
We go to Judge Jim Miller.
This one's easy. Are you kidding me? They're all great questions, no doubt. But I think the philosophy question, Dave from Glencoe, because if you look at that formula that Tom was just talking about, play good defense, solid special teams, run the football, control the clock, don't turn it over, you win world championships. That style of play has won more world championships with that philosophy than any more. It was no more evident than last year in Seattle Seahawks taking home the world championship. So Dave from Glencoe gets it.
Congratulations to Dave from Glencoe, who wins that gift certificate to Sports Authority. Guys,
ask Jim a quarterback question before the end of the show?
We'll do that next.
All
How
right.
about that?
Judge has ruled. No, Tom.
Tom goes from Ask Tom to Ask Jim. We'll play that next.
I want to call Ask the Quarterback.
That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Phil Emery had a lot of interesting things to say about the seventh round pick from last year, Marquise Wilson out of Washington State. I'll get to those in just a bit. But we usually play Ask Tom here on Bears All Access. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. But Tom left me intrigued before the commercial break, saying he wanted to ask Jim a question.
But there's a lot of conversation about the popularity of the backup quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and a lot of it has to do because of what Josh McCown was able to do last season. But now we're fast forward to Jordan Palmer. And my question to you, Jim, is you understand what it takes physically to be a quarterback and to get the job done and arm strength and accuracy and all that. But can you get an honest evaluation of a quarterback's ability to do it on the field by the way he answers questions mentally in meetings?
Yeah, I think you can get, if he's knowledgeable within the offense, absolutely. But I think when you, like, whether it's the OTAs or mini camps, every single play, as you know, Tom, is going to be graded out. Is he reading the coverage correctly? Is he going to the right place with the football in terms of his progression reads? How quickly is he delivering the football? Is it within the time period that we need it? How's the leadership? Is he carrying out his fakes? But every play is evaluated where you're getting a plus grade or a minus grade. And if those grades are not grading out high enough, then you got to be thinking, hey, if he can't do this in practice where he needs to grade out at a certain level, how can we expect it to happen in a game?
But in quarterback conversations in the meeting, if I'm the coach and I'm asking Jim Miller a question and I see the speed or the way it comes out of your mouth, is that, can you get enough of an evaluation from those types of conversation, or does it need to transcend to the field?
I think it's a piece to the puzzle, but I definitely think you still have to go on the field and evaluate it. I mean, because we've seen, let's say, I'll give you an example. There are quarterbacks that I played with that didn't know what they were doing, but they could make plays. You know, that's really the thoughts about Johnny Manziel right now. Think about this guy coming out. He's a playmaker. Sometimes the play from throwing from the pocket's there for him, but he elects to scramble out of the pocket like a Brett Favre and sling one across his body and makes a play. John Elway was like that. His days at Stanford and his days early for the Denver Broncos. So I think to answer your question, you're looking for the certain answer that you ask a player in the meeting room, but you need it backed up and reaffirmed out there on the field with how a guy's grading out.
Jim brings up a good point about Johnny Manziel. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. He's been the talk of the offseason leading up to the draft. When we look back at the 2014 draft, 5 years from now, who's going to be the best quarterback that was taken?
I think when it's all said and done, my opinion, it's Bortles. I think Blake Bortles, people forget, like Johnny Manziel, all these guys that are, or I shouldn't say that about Manziel, but like guys like Bortles that are coming out early, they're young. You'd like them to have more starts, but people think that he's got a little Ben Roethlisberger in him. I've heard somebody compare his accuracy to Blaine Gabbert. I'm not buying that at all, because every stat I've seen does not back that up at all. He's a big guy who can move, and he's still young at the quarterback position. So if he's with the right teacher, the team that drafts him, if he's with a good teacher, I think when it's all said and done, when we talk about upside and projections, because that's really what the draft is. How does a player project to the NFL? And to me, he projects pretty nice. I think Mettenberger projects very nicely down at LSU. There's a couple other guys that are intriguing later in the draft. A lot of people, another young kid coming out is the kid Smith out of Wyoming. Pretty athletic, ran for about 20 touchdowns. But that's the Mountain West out there. He's going to put up kind of crazy numbers. And it's a new offense and things like that. And there's a coaching change. And that's why he elected to come out early. But believe it or not, within this draft class that nobody likes at quarterbacks, there are diamonds in the rough and some really good players. Aaron Murray from Georgia, I think, is one. And I think Mettenberger is going to be a really fine quarterback in the NFL. Well, let me finish up with one more thing. I know I'm running long here and running my mouth a little bit, but because Tom asked me that question, and I compared Johnny Manziel somewhat. Some of the things he does are Brett Favre-like. That's really the comparisons people have thrown out, or Fran Tarkenton. When I used to break down tape, when we'd play Green Bay, Brett Favre would do the ultimate no-nos. And what I mean by that, let's say it's cover two, and let's say I call all go. Well, let's go. I write, let's go 134, I'll go, where the Z, the Y, and the X are all running a go route. And it was a cover two, tight end takes the middle. So you've got the whole shot to the backside. His Brett Favre would hit that consistently. And that's a horrible read for a quarterback, because your read should be strong side to the Z receiver and the Y, because the Y is holding the front side safety. So if the safety jumps on the tight end, you've definitely got a huge hole shot to the Z, the flanker on the outside, versus a cover two. And Brett Favre would get away with that crap all the time. And it's the ultimate no-no. You look at him and be like, that is a horrible read. But because of his, just what do you call it, a feeling, or his arm strength and putting it in places, I mean, those are type of talents that you just can't coach.
I, you know, Jim, in a quarterback, I want a quarterback that survives with his arm strength and his arm ability rather than the reliance of his feet. I think just, you know, looking at the Andrew Luck and RG3 scenario, and RG3 got injured with his feet, not because of the decisions he's making, because of this confidence in his arm. And some of the quarterbacks you mentioned, the LSU guy, the Georgia guy, they're arm quarterbacks and not necessarily the Manziel Bridgewater type guys.
Got to take a timeout. When we come back, guys, we'll hit up what Marquise Wilson's role is going to be in this offense and whether or not the Bears need a deep threat, that pure speed threat as a wide receiver to take this offense to an even greater level. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few minutes here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Our final show before the NFL draft. A week from tonight, the festivities begin out at Radio City Music Hall in New York. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Now, today, Phil Emery was talking about Marquise Wilson. They're very high on him. Big-time production at Washington State before he left school and entered the NFL draft. And last year was kind of a developmental year for him. He needed to get a little bit stronger. He's around 200 pounds now. He's been working out with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey in Florida, Tom. But Phil Emery calls him a long-legged strider. He's not necessarily a burner. Do you need a burner for this offense to take another step?
It would be a nice luxury, but then let me just transition this question to Jim. Jim, if you're a quarterback and you have a burner and he does have that type of speed, if he's involved in a route, are you looking at him or the underneath coverage and targets first?
Yeah, well, I mean, just in terms of providing a role, let's say if I were to call, you know, zero slot with the speedster at the slot, and I called, you know, say 134X in, where that slot receiver's got to take the top off the defense because we're trying to will Brandon Marshall open on the dig cut on the backside. So it runs off those safeties, and now you're providing that window for that in cut. So I definitely think it provides a role within an offense. Most teams go in that direction where you've got a speedy guy, you've got the big physical guys who are the red zone presence guys, and then you have the little jitterbugs that can do the things from the slot as well. So I think the more multiple you are, the better, because it allows you to do more things offensively.
And one reason it will help the offensive line, if you do have that burner, if you have a good guy that's designed as a speed guy, now you're talking about facing seven-man fronts instead of eight-man fronts to keep that guy back to protect those touchdown throws.
No doubt.
Now,
no
I was talking with Mark Trestman about this last year, even before the season started, when the Bears did not have that speed threat. And he said it's more important for him to get targets for the quarterback and then what that target does after the catch. Right. That's more important to him than a speed
When you
threat.
Don't have a speed guy, those other underneath targets are more important.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Good stuff. Man, the next time we have Bears All Access will be next Sunday following the NFL draft. There's going to be a lot to talk about then. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, executive producer Jim Padgett, Herb Lawrence, Joe Ostrowski on the other side, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thank you so much for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.